may be seated. Good morning. It is a good morning for a lot of reasons. God is good, and He's good to allow us to worship Him together as a body here at Sunnyside. I like that name, Sunnyside. I preach at Hillside over there once in a while, and today I preach at Sunnyside. And I go wherever the Lord seems to send me with the help of the Village Missions District Rep. When I hear his voice on the phone, I know he's got another assignment for me. It's just great. We're talking about Calvary today. We're talking about the work of Christ on the cross. And I've had a little different plan today. Since it's a Super Bowl Sunday, I decided I'd have a little fun with my sermon too. And I hope it's half as much fun for you as it was for me preparing it. What I've done is gone through the whole English alphabet, A to Z, with some of the purposes and the power of the cross. That's, if this game goes into overtime, you'll know why. An alphabet of praise to our God, and I appreciate your patience as we walk through this. I'm looking forward to it. Several of my friends over there wanted me to have a copy of the outline so they can have fun with it too, wherever they are, to be used in Bible studies. If it's valuable, praise God. I'm blessed by preparing it, and I hope God's blessing will rest upon it now. Father, we thank you for your word, which never fails. Help this to be so biblically drenched with truth that we will recognize its source. Not from me, but from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll start out with A instead of starting with Z and going backwards. When I think of the cross of Jesus Christ, I think of the Anointed One. Where did I get that? Wow, I got that way back in the Old Testament. He's the Anointed One. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the one that God prepared. Born to die. That was his purpose. And we have access into God's saving grace. I have several A's here. He's the Anointed One, and through his work at the cross, we have access into his saving grace. We are accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6 says. To be accepted by God is to be a part of his family. Praise God. How do we do that? B, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can be saved. Peter said it right when Jesus asked the men, "Whom do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the miracle of all of it all was Jesus was equal with the Father, and yet he humbled himself to go to the cross and die for our sins. There was an equality there that is just unbelievable. But we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because it was his shed blood that saved us. The precious blood of Christ. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but the blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that that's exactly what cleanses us from every sin. 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're into the sea already, aren't we? It was through the crucifixion. See, crucifixion. You can read all about that as you have already in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Those references you know by now, perhaps, Matthew 27, Luke 23, John 19, a place called the Skull, wasn't it? Where Jesus was crucified for us. D, He died. It was the death of Christ that brought life to the world. That's kind of a paradox, isn't it? Amazing how the death of Jesus Christ, but that's the very gospel that we preach. The Apostle Paul was famous for preaching about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have time to quote very much at all, but I'll read what Paul says about the death. In 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, he says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Wow. Thank God for the death of Jesus Christ, because it had to come just because of his purpose. He was elect. He was a chosen servant of God. Back in Isaiah 42, it talks about the servant of God, the perfect servant of the Father who would come and do the Father's will. Father says of his son there, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one." That's the elect part, the chosen one. Don't be afraid of the doctrine of election, because this is part of it. "My chosen one in whom my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. He'll bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law." And while that day is still future, it all progressed through the work of the cross, where he became victorious over sin that would bring death to us. The wages of sin is death. That's the penalty he paid for your sins and mine. It wasn't his sins, it was my sin and your sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. It was the love of God that held him there. Oh, we haven't gotten to that yet. That's in my outline. So he's the elect, God's chosen servant. You can read about that in 1 Peter 2:6 as well. F, forgiveness, is one of the many F's I came up with. I've got several that I could select there. Forgiveness for our sins, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. One of the best things that I think hits us first when we get saved is all of a sudden we realize, oh, I'm forgiven. My sins are gone. We used to sing that when I was back in youth group. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. You'll say, if they're gone, how come they still appear? How come they still happen? I was a total sinner in my standing in this world until Jesus released me from that title. Now I'm a sinner saved by grace. Oh yes, that's our G. Grace, for by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Undeserved favor of God, bringing salvation to us through the gospel of grace. I might get to go through this twice. It's going quite well. H. What do you think I'm going to say about that? I'm going to say hope of heaven. Hope of heaven. I had no hope at all when I was lost in my sin. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was hopeless. I was helpless. I was lost. But those are the kinds of people that God saves. By His grace, He lifted me up out of the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, and established me on that path of righteousness. Wow, what a wonderful Savior He is, the hope of heaven. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:32, the righteous has hope in his death. The wicked do not. They have no hope. As long as they turn their eyes away from the Lord, they have no hope. There are no other answers. There is no other God. There's no other Savior except this one, our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace are we saved. We have hope of heaven. I love that verse in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit in us that was sent after Jesus rose from the dead and brought the Holy Spirit to us, He's the one that fills our heart full of hope. He's the one that does it all for us. Christ in us, through His Spirit, relives the life of Jesus in you and me. Wow, what a hopeful message that we have in the gospel that we preach. I thought a little while on this one. I thought, what do I want to say here? Well, I came up with this word, iniquity. Some of you may wonder, what is that? Well, that's one of the several words used in the Scriptures for sin. Sometimes we miss the mark. That's one kind of sin. It's like bow hunters who missed their game because they didn't hit the bullseye. And so they missed the mark and didn't get their meat. When we sin, we miss God's glory. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This word iniquity is an amazing one because David used it more and more in Psalm 51, which was his great psalm of confession after he had taken Bathsheba as his wife, killed her husband Uriah, guilty of murder, guilty of adultery, and the great sin that had come to him. Wow, he was guilty. He knew that. And he knew he needed help. And in Psalm 51, I'm going to read a few verses which includes the word iniquity. Be gracious to me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. There's yet another word for sin. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. How does iniquity differ from transgressions and sins and trespasses and debts and all the other words for sin? I believe iniquity is a word that he uses because we need cleansing that only the blood of Christ can take away. There are stains that come into our life that nothing in all the world can take care of except the forgiving grace and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was our innocent, sinless Savior. The iniquity that's in the world today is more and more rampant. People are creating crimes that are just unbelievable. They are involved with idolatry, immorality, perversion, and all kinds of other things, which ought to embarrass all of us. It is a grief to God when His people wallow in the mire. When David, a man after God's own heart, wandered away from what he knew was right and got involved in those great sins, he says, cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I can't get away from it. Against thee, the only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. Wow. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And on he talks about iniquity. Verse 9, hide thy face for my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Those were taken care of at the cross. There is no sin that is so vile that can't be forgiven except the blasphemous thought that I could go to heaven without Jesus. That unbelief is the sin that takes people into hell itself. There will be people there who have been forgiven for almost anything in the world. Drugs, alcohol, other addictions, problems, serving other gods for a time, intermarriage, homosexuality, you name it. Those can be forgiven because of God's amazing grace. Iniquity can be cleansed, even though it's a horrible sin. All because of Jesus. That's the only way. Jesus. He was born to die. He died to take away our sin. K. He's king. He's king. They put a sign of Jesus. King of the Jews. Well, I'll tell you what. He's king more of the Jews. He's the king of all the earth. He's the one who reigns over the whole world. He's the one who's going to set up his kingdom one of these days. And isn't it an amazing thing that while he was hanging on the cross, two others were crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. Both criminals knew they were dying because of their sin and their crime. One of them decided just to mock Jesus. If you saved others, why don't you save yourselves and us? The other, after observing Jesus on the cross for a short time, saw there's something different about this one on the central cross. You know why he was different? He was sinless. He didn't die as a criminal. He didn't die as a martyr. He died as the master who would have a following that would never end. I have thought about these three hanging on the cross. The one finally said, "Lord, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, what? "Today, you're going to be with me in paradise." He's the only one that can take a criminal hanging on the cross and forgive him without a baptism, without church attendance, without giving in the offering plate, and take him to heaven. That's grace. That's mercy. Praise God for the Lord, our King. What kindness there is in that. That's another K for you. And then it's L, love. Wow, love. What can we say other than to say God so loved the world? He gave his only begotten Son. He didn't loan him to us. He gave him to us because he knew we needed him. Not to be just an example, but to be a sacrifice for our sins on the cross. He gave him for us. Wow. M is for mercy, amongst other wonderful things. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us, according to Titus chapter 3. You can't get into heaven by scratching and clawing and trying to get better and better. It just doesn't work that way. We can't be restored. We can't be rehabilitated. We can't get into heaven that way at all. But Titus tells us very clearly that it's because of his mercy that he saves us. Not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. There's the cross. That being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Isaiah 64:6 tells us that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. They don't count. because they come from a contaminated vessel. But once we're cleansed, we can serve Him with all of our heart, and He accepts our good deeds, and He accepts us as we are. And I think of the name of Jesus. Something about that name. There's a name above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord according to the glory of the Father. That came after the cross. And He rose from the dead with God the Blessed Father raising Him up to let everybody know, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's some quarterbacks today that want to be winners. One of them is going to be a winner today. But you know what? From God's point of view, there have been testimonies from both teams about people in each team that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And whether they win or lose on the field, those people are winners. Whether there's any touchdowns or not, if people can come to know Jesus Christ, whether they know anything at all about football, they'll know all they need to know in order to make it to heaven through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, overcomers. Overcomer. Are you trying to overcome something? I'm always trying to overcome something, and a lot of it has to do with aging. I go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week, and I think I'm doing pretty well, but I have no goal of trying to look like some of those with the tattoos and the bigger muscles. I don't even want to do that. I'm happy with just being able to go on the treadmill, do a few things. Pat goes to Curves and overcome aging. Well, I'm going to overcome aging because I'm going to be in heaven someday where I don't have to worry about it. Overcomers. You can read all about that in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and chapter 17 and chapters 2 and 3. Those people that Jesus spoke to in those churches, if they overcome the stumbling blocks in their lives and they bring their life back into line with His will, they will overcome. They will have a new name. They will be able to be known as His people for sure. Peace. He made peace through the blood of His cross. Colossians 1:20. And Ephesians 3:20 talks about the power that there is through the cross. He'll do above and beyond in prayer. He'll give you above and beyond your expectations and anything you might imagine through the power of the cross. When we pray, that power can become ours because it's a gift from Him. He does it for us. I have no power of my own. I am weak. I am worn. I am weary. I am old. But He's fresh. He's strong. A mighty hand and an outstretched arm is our Lord Jesus Christ. People asked me this week, what did you put for Q? Here it is, quickened. He quickened me. He made me alive when I came to know Jesus as my Savior. In Ephesians chapter 2, He took me right out of that problem that I had of being lost. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Notice the word formerly. According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with Him, seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He has quickened us. He's made us alive because we were dead in trespasses and sins. Thanks be to God who makes us alive and quickens us and gives us hope. Our resurrection and righteousness. Righteousness is a key thing. I was preaching from Philippians chapter 1, of course, in the last few Sundays. And in that text of Philippians chapter 1, I never did really get to verse 11 there, as I was supposed to last Sunday, but it says, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. We live our life before we meet Christ in wrongness, and now we can live in righteousness. What a difference. We make so many mistakes before. We make less mistakes today because Jesus Christ enables us to go His way. But I think the big thought here comes from 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, God the Father, made Him, the Son, sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. It's His righteousness and His righteousness alone that qualifies us to be God's children. He gives us a robe of righteousness to wear, and we are to put on that robe of righteousness as we live our Christian life. We're to let the filthy rags go, and we're to put on righteousness. And that brings praise and glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. Saints. S is for saints. I think I mentioned that briefly in one of my messages. We are called saints. We're set apart. We are sanctified. We become holy in the eyes of the Lord. We are holy ones. That's a heavy one to handle. And it's quite an honor to wear that title, but it's ours. I have no holiness of my own, nor do you. But you're set apart for God, for His specific purpose and use. God looks at you through the precious blood of Christ, and He sees no blemish. Wow. Wow. When we get to heaven, even we will know what that means, because we will experience it more than ever before. We still battle with all these things going on in our contaminated world. But He calls us saints, and we are saved by the truth, T, sound doctrine. Wow. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Wow, did those Pharisees and Sadducees ever need that kind of information to be set free from the legalistic demands of a law that condemns in order to have the freedom of forgiveness and the assurance of salvation? And we can only have that in the Lord Jesus Christ. You, ultimate sacrifice. He gave it all. All to Him I owe. All to Him I give. Do you really? Love the Lord with all your heart. That's the goal. How can we meet that? Only ultimately, when we are in heaven, we will have achieved that goal of sinlessness. We can be blameless now, and we can be forgiven of any faults by the knowledge of the Word of God and by obeying the truth. We are stronger and stronger. We don't believe the lies anymore, but through His ultimate sacrifice, He gives us V for victory. That word will show up on the television screen today, I'm quite sure. You take that and apply it any way you can. Whichever team you're rooting for, it doesn't really matter much in the long run. But there'll be some hooping and hollering and celebrating and tailgate parties. But I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to probably have a nap during most of the game and wake up to see what happened. That's how much of a football fan I am, see. W, the Word of God. The Word of God says that if we don't believe in Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides on us. There's another W for you. When my grandson was being homeschooled, his mama, our daughter, put the letters of the alphabet around the ring in his bedroom, and she had a special Bible word for each of those letters. And he was telling us all about that. And he was pretty young. He was just a little guy. And he came to W and he says, wrath. And I don't want any of that. So he went on to he went on to X and Y and Z. I don't want any of that. No, you don't either. The wrath of God abides over unbelievers, John 3:36, because they procrastinate. They don't come to Christ. They're trying it on their own. Talked to my best friend in high school yesterday. He's still trying to go it on his own. I gave him some more gospel. I'm going to give him a whole bucket full when I get back in July. And I'll tell you what, he needs to be saved. He's a nice guy, but nice guys don't all make it to heaven. They just don't. And that's what the world is so confused about. They can't understand how convicts can get saved and go to heaven and nice people can't make it to heaven. They wonder, what's the matter with this? And they begin to blaspheme God because of it. Well, wrath of God has been satisfied through the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore that wrath against us, and we don't have to worry about that. I know that from 1 John chapter 2 and 1 John 4:10, that he made propitiation for our sins. I didn't put that under P, but it's true anyway. X, oh, what are you going to do with X? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to exchange all the rags of my life for a robe of righteousness. I'm going to exchange my guilt for His peace. I'm going to exchange my sin for His salvation. I'm going to exchange my shame for His glory. I'm going to exchange all the bad stuff I can and find the good stuff that there is in line for me. I want you to do the same. And you want you to do the same, don't you? How do you achieve that? Why? Yield yourselves to the Lord. Yield yourself. Well, I used to hear some old sermons on this from Romans chapter 6. Great sermons. Read it for yourselves. Yield yourselves to God as servants unto righteousness. Submit your stubborn will to Him, and He will change your life for the better. Amen. Z, wow, zeal. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Accomplish what? Happened at the cross. Three men died on that cross. The unbeliever died in his sin. The believing criminal died to his sin. Jesus in the center cross died for all of our sins. And the zeal of the Lord accomplishes everything connected with Jesus. He accomplished a virgin birth. He accomplished a virtuous life, a sinless one for our Lord, a life of righteousness. He accomplished a vicarious death because it was for us and for anyone who will believe. A victorious resurrection and a visible ascension and a coming again that's just going to be great. I hope and pray that you're going to be marching to Zion. I close my message with that thought. We're marching to Zion. And there's great joy in that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting till His enemies become His footstool to return to this earth to be King over all. Will the fellows please come now as we share in the communion service?